2020 has been, well, you know what? We're really going to let you make that call. But for Sales Burrito, our inaugural season, it's been a great success. And we really wanted to take this opportunity to reflect on the show this year and discuss where we're going in 2021. So on this episode, we'll revisit some of the highlights of the show, make some bold predictions on the future of sales engineering as a career, and look forward to 2021 and some of the technology trends we see coming. So stay tuned. This is Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
Yeah, 2020 has been indeed one of those years that I'm going to be honest with you. I want to forget it. I mean, just this past week, somebody broke into my mom's house in Puerto Rico. I was in a car accident. And let's see, what else am I missing? I'm missing one more. Oh, my wife had second degree burns as she was cooking pasta. So yeah, enough with 2020. I don't think that there's not enough rabbit feet to give me good luck. You know what I mean, Dave?
I do, man. I'm not trying to top you, but you know, I started Christmas off with my dad calling me and telling me his house burnt down. So
Jesus,
how can I forget? How can I forget? Your father's house get burned down. My sister's house is on a fire. So it's like, yeah. Enough. We're done.
Yeah,
we're
done. So I think we can call 2020 quits. And you know, for all the things that have happened personally, that have just kind of just been one of those, you know, year to forget. You know, the highlight has definitely been, you know, Sales Burrito with you and you know, the success we've had with the show. And yeah, I really want to take this chance to, you know, recap out our year to thank not only, you know, our subscribers, you know, but want to thank, you know, everybody who's tuned in, made this show a success, given us great critical feedback and even criticism that's, you know, been helping us reshape the show and enhance it. And we've had many numerous wonderful guests, and we'll kind of recap some of those here through this episode. But you know, off the top of our, you know, top of my head, you know, I got to give a solid thank you to everybody who subscribed to the show. We pulled the numbers here. We were well over 1,000 subscribers now to the show, and that's just phenomenal. You know, across all the platforms where we stream. Couldn't do it without you. You know, it validates that what Rika and I are doing here is something that's meaningful to the industry. And, you know, it's our way of giving back. So we're really, really kind of appreciative of it. And, you know, it's not just, you know, we're obviously North American based, but this is obviously something that's impacting around the globe. As we look at kind of our subscriber numbers, you know, obviously 70% of the audience is from North America, but, you know, we have a strong representation in Europe and South America, even down under, you know, we've got those 15 subscribers that are now there, 20, I'm sorry, from Australia.
We'll take them all.
Yeah, exactly. So we really appreciate it. You know, we want to have a relevant audience. And so we'll look to continue to expand the content and make sure that it's relevant for everybody, no matter whether you're here in the United States, in America, EMEA, Asia, or wherever you may be. So, you know, again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Yeah, it's, we can't do the show without you. And, I guess we could, but we'd be talking to ourselves. So, you know, from that perspective,
it will be very boring. Yeah. So thank you for your support. As you can imagine, we really appreciate it.
So, you know, when I look back at this year, Enrique, you know, I think, I was looking at some of the episodes we've done and just kind of thinking back through it, you know, where were the highlights were for me. And, you know, I think it has to start with some of the world's, you know, luminaries in our industry coming on and joining us in our inaugural season as guests. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't thank them. You know, John Kerr obviously has been a longtime mentor to me and you, and, you know, John was gracious enough to come join us and talk about mastering technical sales and really, you know, he even gave us the world premiere exclusive, you know, that the new version of Mastering Technical Sales will be dropping. So, you know, people heard it here first on this podcast. What about you? You know, who was kind of your highlights from this year?
You know, there's really two. I will say Peter Cohen, obviously. Yeah, to me, it was enlightening because, and no joke, just when you think that you know how to do one thing, somebody comes up and shows you how to do it differently, and it opens your mind. It's like you're literally blown by why I have been doing things different. And Peter did do an impact on me, even though I've done thousands of demos throughout my career. I would say the other one that was impactful for me was having Joshua Stenhouse. His sincerity, his direct approach on how he sees his business is something that we all aspire to be, right? You know, and rather than actually swimming around the issues, right? He just is laser focused and direct. So I did enjoy those two episodes for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was great to have, you know, practitioners who are doing this job day in and day out. You know, obviously we have our view of the world, it's our lens, but you know, people like Dave Stevens coming on and Mike Pochelle.
That's right.
Brandon Meyer, you know, and you know, coming in and really kind of, you know, explaining, you know, their view of you know, the slice of the industry, you know, and Brandon obviously giving his personal story on, you know, how COVID really impacted him and you know, displaced him, and you know, really took that you know, that blow and spun it and leveraged his personal network, really, you know, validated our message that, you know, it's on about necessarily what you know, but who you know sometimes, and how to leverage that personal network and really expand that. And, you know, I know he's doing great in his new career with you know, that pivot that he had to take unexpectedly. And you know, those kind of stories, I think, really, you know, help people understand that you're not alone in this industry. Mm-hmm. And that you know, things are going to happen. And you know, part of that is, and we talked about this in your last episode, you know, our last episode, you know, change, right? You know, change is good, and change is constant. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we know about this industry, I think, is as you look at end of year, Q4 happens, you know, Q4 closes, Q1 comes, there's that natural evolution. You know, you talked about it last time, the 4-year itch, but
yeah,
it's that change point, right? There's going to be a lot of changes going to come up. Some people are going to be taking new jobs. Some people are going to be leaving jobs. Some people are going to be, you know, looking at, you know, expanding their roles inside the business. So
promotions. Some people are looking at moving to the next level in management, whether it's an SE manager or an SE director, or VP of SEs, whatever that is, right? I think at the end of the day, what's important is as those changes occur, never forget the roots of where you came from as a sales engineer. I think that often, when the change happens, it doesn't mean that you need to replicate exactly what you learned from a different company into a new company, but just don't forget your grassroots. Make sure that you're understanding them and then adapt to that new change.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the other things that, you know, is going to kind of be a learning from this year is, you know, we were obviously all forced to change how we operate, how we work in 2020 because of COVID and this whole dynamic of people not traveling anymore. And you know, I think that's something that can be a change for good at the end of the day, right? I mean, and one of the things I think we'll talk about here in a second is where the industry is going. But, you know, mm-hmm. I'll put it out there now. I think, you know, one of the new things that we're going to have in norm in our industry is, you know, the way we work and way we communicate is going to be that mixture of hybridity. It's going to be virtual. It's going to be in physical. But, you know, the dynamic is definitely going to change. I think, you know, I don't think we're ever going to go back to the way it was pre-COVID. What about you?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, right? Because, you know, remote work, no doubt is here to stay. You know what I'm finding? What I'm finding is as I am in like Zoom calls, for example, when I tell some of my sales engineers or what I tell some of the sales reps, hey, can you please shut down your camera? Because we're just, you know, I don't need to see your face. We're just going to be collaborating. They're almost scared to shut down the camera. Whereas before they were scared to turn on the camera. So it's the weirdest thing. So I'm now promoting, because Zoom fatigue is real, because we often need to have our periods of, you know what, maybe I'm having lunch when I'm talking to you. Maybe I'm doing something different, but I'm listening. I am literally enforcing people to shut down their cameras and make sure that they have the freedom of a private space. Think about that. Your private space now is not having a camera on.
Yeah.
It's pretty insane that things have changed this way.
It is. You know, that's probably a topic for one of the episodes in the new year, you know, the dynamic of, you know, how do you shut off working from home and get back into your personal mode, right? You're not like you're going to get in the car and have that windshield time to kind of decompress from the work day back to the home day. And, you know, I think there's some things and tips and tricks that I've learned just in, you know, this last 9 months or so working from home. It's like, you know, disconnect, you know, go change, you know, get out of your work clothes, get back into your personal clothes, even if just changing the shirt you're wearing that day, t-shirt.
That is so awesome because that's true. Like if, you know, not that the audience can see on the camera. I mean, I guess I could move my camera, but you're 100% right. Yeah. Right next to me, I have my sports jacket. I have my shirt, and I'm literally doing throughout the day wardrobe changes where if I'm with a customer is one wardrobe. If it is with the internal team, I'm another wardrobe and maybe a t-shirt. Right. So it's like, and it's because I don't want to be all that formal in front of the internal team, but I want to keep that formality for the prospects that I'm visiting. Yeah. So well said.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll take that carry forward. But yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, I've been reading a little bit about, and, you know, obviously it's that time of year where everybody starts making predictions for where things are going is, you know, what does the industry look like for a sales engineer in 2021? And yeah, I think we're in a position with the lens that we sit in and the view we have in the industry to be able to make some claims on that. But, you know, I think, you know, obviously remote work staying even after the vaccine is kind of normal place. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, some of the other trends that we're going to see is there's going to be this new modality of, you know, how you not only engage and sell, but, you know, it's going to drive more and more towards, you know, customer self-experience and self, you know, POCing. And we're seeing this a lot of it now because you can't get on site with a customer. You can't necessarily drop physical equipment anymore. You know, this whole dynamic of, you know, remote selling with remote demoing, remote value prop delivery, I think is a trend that's going to continue to amplify in 2021. So, you know, from an SEs that have, you know, the ability to master those skills and, you know, deliver value prop through stories and deliver value prop through, you know, reference selling, you know, you're going to be in a better position for 2021 versus, you know, those people always have to be tactical, hands-on.
100%. I will tell you that I am seeing this in the new industry, in the new company that I'm working on, where, you know, we have part of our product has a freemium product part where people can download, create an account and be able to actually play with our product. And if you have the motivation, right, the consumer can do the demo or do an evaluation or proof of concept of our product without any sales engineer being able to touch the account. Now, we do have contacts where we, you know, as the consumer is creating different things within our product, being that we're a SaaS platform, we have milestones that we can do a touch point and say, hey, I'm your SE, just want to make sure that you're comfortable with what you're doing. Here's my contact information. But it's becoming more of that hands-on where the consumer is true. We're walking the consumer to the end game, but we're walking them differently, not by being in front of them, but by doing, you know, a little bit of trickling of a email message or a communication of different things that are happening based on the stage of where they are.
Yeah, that drip education, yeah.
I would say the other thing that I see, Dave, is, you know, as you know, and as the audience knows, I've been a data protection expert for a long time. And now I'm in this world of, you know, BI, right? You know, BI means a lot of different things. But one of the things that I've seen with business intelligence stuff is I've seen AI and ML being used a lot. And I thought I knew what it was, but I can tell you that being in this new realm of data, and I can tell you that there's not a lot of people that truly understand what AI and ML is. So I can see in 2021 a world where if you're looking to do something different, you know, you need humans to train an AI model to be able to do repetitive things for long periods of time. So I do see individuals going into that field, educating AI models, feeding in it data in such a way that can predict outcomes to some of our consumers.
Yeah, so
I do see
right.
that in 2021.
I mean, yeah, you know, obviously I spend a lot of cycles in this space, but cognitive AI is absolutely on the verge, and, you know, people who understand that and get in front of that obviously are going to have not only a job, but they're obviously going to be in demand. You know, the whole idea that, you know, the machine can train itself is it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It can after the model's been built, but the model's still got to be built. So you got to get the human knowledge in there 100%. Somehow. So absolutely. Now, I think the other 100%. One, you know, that is kind of coming to fruition, really hitting the accelerator is, you know, is automation, right? And not just basic automation with, you know, PowerShell and Python scripting and plugging things in Ansible and Chef, but really hyper automation, automating everything, right? Not only, you know, the back end systems, but the front end systems, the customer experience piece of it, you know, the robotic automation components of it. And so, you know, automation is obviously, I think, also been a secret to why we've been able to adapt and make it through this, you know, instant change to being remote working, right? I mean, if you didn't have automation in some of those areas, probably wouldn't be possible. And as you look at the model, how I even shopped for Christmas, right? Everything was driven through automation, not just Amazon, but, you know, the on-demand delivery, purchasing in the app, the curbside delivery, you know, all that being fulfilled through process automation on the back end of it. And so, you know, I think anybody who wants to get into, you know, the management and the DevOps infrastructure as code, you know, whatever industry is code, you know, shift is obviously going to be hot and continue to be hot. And so, you know, understanding that at scale, you know, is obviously a hot trend, I think, for 2021 and beyond. And it's something where, you know, the DevOps mm-hmm. side of the world becomes mainstream.
I hate to put you on the spot, but, you know, being that you're an expert on a lot of things, but obviously one of the specializations you have is cybersecurity, right? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I don't recall a year in the years that I've been doing this where the word ransomware hasn't been like top of mind of everybody in an organization. Like even some of the members in my household that are not involved into organizations or boards, or just my, you know, my wife, my daughter, when you mention ransomware, they know what it is.
Yeah.
So are you seeing the same thing or something that is major with ransomware in 2021?
Absolutely. I mean, I spend the majority of my time with the Fortune 500 and, you know, the CIOs, CISOs of the world. And, you know, ransomware is the number one board concern. It's, you know, it's the number one area that's getting IT and security spend. And I don't care who you are, it's hitting every industry, every vertical. You know, there were certain industries that obviously were hit even worse this year because of it. You know, anybody that's read the newspaper, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, the layman knows that, you know, we've had some nation state attacks here in the past couple of weeks, you know, with SolarWinds mm-hmm. and FireEye, and now, you know, Cisco and Microsoft coming out on record saying that they were impacted as well. I mean, it's changed the entire landscape. I mean, the, you know, and to not just, you know, the common commercial enterprise. I mean, there are certain industries that, you know, are considered rock solid and never connected to the networks. And you would think, yeah, they'd be not going to be impacted by these type of attacks, and they were impacted, right? I mean, you know, the federal government intelligence community took a serious hit with this. So, you know, ransomware is continuing to be a concern. 2021 is not going to stop that. I mean, it's become a legitimate criminal enterprise and big business. If you were a legitimate business, it'd be a multi-billion-dollar business. You know, so it's that level of scale. And, you know, unfortunately, it's changing. It's not just ransomware to take your data and lock it up and ask you for, you know, a payment. It's now, we'll take your data, mm-hmm. we'll steal your data, we'll ask you for the payment to get it back, but then we'll also ask you to pay it, not to leak it to the world, and then, you know, it shows up still in the black market. So, you know, yep. And it's not the kids down the street in the garage, you know, that you used to be the, you know, the kitty scrippers that were going out. This is nation state type of activity. So, massive scale. It's going to drive spend for a while. I think anybody who doesn't have it on the radar is probably already behind the eight ball. And anybody who wants to get into the security industry, you know, looking at any of the technologies that are around that space, whether it's on the front end detection remediation side of it, or if it's on the back end, you know, process remediation, cleanup, resiliency, you know, forensics, those are all hot spaces. And, you know, you're seeing, 25-50 startups a quarter coming out in the space. Everybody's trying to figure out the better mousetrap to go at it and attach it, and it's going to continue to grow by leaps and bounds. I mean, zero trust, you know, all the new networking technologies, micro segmentation, all that, those are hot areas. So cybersecurity, you know, is probably de facto the number one spend area. So by nature of it, it'll be one of the number one job market areas for sales engineering.
I believe it. One trend that I do see that is happening in 2021, and it may not be very evident to a lot of our audience, is what's called the no code application platforms. You know, yeah. It is, you know, I think that as time passes by, right, there is specialization on coding, you know, whether it is, you know, you're using VB.net or you're doing JavaScript or you're doing Ruby, whatever it is, there is some way, always a developer, a group of developers that have to understand the language, have to understand how to write subroutines, define subroutines. And quite frankly, it's a, it's an, I'm not going to call it a niche, but when you're a developer, you're a developer. You're writing code. This no code application framework that I see jumping in on 2021 is important because it allows those that don't have experience with coding to literally drag and drop pieces and create workflows in such a way that you're developing code.
Yep.
And I'm seeing, you know, no different that I've seen this trend happen in the data protection world. You know, in the data protection world, if you needed to back up an Oracle database, back 10 years ago, you needed almost like a PhD on how to figure out how RMAN worked. Today, with technologies today, you don't need to be an Oracle expert to know how to do proper protection. Well, guess what? The same thing is happening with coding.
That's right.
Back in the day, you needed to be a coder. Guess what? Now we're going to be having people that with a simpler UI interface, they can drag and drop pieces of code to build many applications that scale vertically and horizontally.
Yeah, you know. And it's not, I mean, it's definitely here. I mean, my nephew was telling me about an application he built. And I'm like, what'd you code it? And he goes, you know, I just did it in, essentially no code, right? I mean, it's, Apple programming language behind the scenes, but essentially drag and drop, you know, the components he needs, made a fully functioning app with a UI and it worked. And it's like, you know, rapid prototyping. I mean, you think about, you know, again, go back to hyper automation, process automation. You know, iteration development on that and being able to leverage that. And then you take no code with, you know, essentially artificial intelligence, machine learning on code validation. And then, you know, you're not only building more secure code, you're building it faster. And then you can drop it into an agile development methodology and you essentially have a continuous flywheel operation with iterations that happen on a daily basis. So.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, I think we touched on it already, but you know, not only is remote work here to stay, but you know, with what happened with COVID, we see the value of, you know, computing at the edge, right? Whether it be the remote worker, you know, doing, you know, processing of data at the edge. And you look at where everything is going with, you know, processors and GPUs and even in cars and IoT at the edge. I mean, the value of the edge just keeps amplifying. And so if you look at the shift in that methodology and that technology wave, you know, it pretty much dictates that you have to think differently about how you've always looked at, you know, infrastructure computing. It's not always going to be in the data center. It's no longer going to be in the four walls of the building. It's not necessarily going to be in the cloud, right? I mean, some of this data processing that's happening now at the edge is going to stay at the edge and never make it back anywhere. It'll make a decision at the edge. The determination will come out and that data will get thrown away, right? Because it doesn't make sense to keep the data after the answer has been answered. So, you know, that whole shift there is happening and people who understand that or want to get into the IoT side of the world or, you know, even, you know, accelerated computing at the edge. I mean, there's obviously a wave starting there. I think 2021 is the start of it. It's going to continue to amplify and, you know, at the pace of innovation, you're going to also need to figure out how do you back that up? How do you secure it? How do you protect it? So it's going to drive a whole nother wave of, you know, all these different areas that we've always thought about from the enterprise data center. And taking it and distributing it out. So, you know, this is one of the things that's kind of come naturally out of COVID. And then that value is going to amplify. Yeah.
I will say that one of the last ones that I see in 2021, and we can take bets on it, is it's kind of here, right? You know, I think that there's going to be an amplification of distributed clouds. I mean, I think that when you're talking about cloud, you know, a lot of people are they're thinking public cloud, they're thinking one throat to choke, they're thinking the major players in the public cloud industry. But the reality is that, you know, some people want diversification. Some people want to put different workloads in another cloud. And that other cloud could be another public cloud, or it could be a hybrid cloud, or it could be even a private cloud, right? So there is, when you look at technologies such as Azure Stack, for example, where they're building the cloud on-premise and they have the resource group, they have everything that is on-premise, and they compounded with using public cloud, you can see that distributed cloud modeling here to stay. Now, mind you, one could debate the fact that some of the data center footprints are going low and whatnot. It's all about the, you know, mileage may vary when it comes to the workload. It's understanding the workload and what distributed cloud is best for reducing latency and increasing customer satisfaction.
Yeah, and I think you're also going to see the pressure from vendors, right? I mean, you have, it's no secret that most vendors are trying to get everybody into some kind of subscription model, right? The subscriptions are here to stay. And, you know, at some point, like we have subscription fatigue as consumers, we're probably going to have subscription fatigue, you know, as enterprises. But, to get the best value or the best value out of the subscription, you're going to be forced into their cloud. I mean, Oracle obviously has been driving this heavily with what they're doing with Oracle databases and Oracle Cloud. But I think you're going to start seeing that proliferate. You'll have these SaaS solutions that'll say, you want to run it in our cloud, whether that's private label cloud or a public cloud, but it's going to be their kind of their version of it. And obviously they do it for vendor lock-in, but I think we're going to have more and more of that. So, how you manage, your data at scale, do you have a data management plane that allows you to do it no matter where your data lives? That visibility component of it, it's obviously going to change the dynamic. And I think, from a solution engineering perspective, sales engineer understands that customers are not going to have one size fits all tools, and that they're going to need, some of these conglomerated solutions to come together and new tools and new companies that allow them to manage that. That's an opportunity for job expansion. And, it's a tip of the edge of the wave. So if you can get into it, obviously you have the ability to kind of drive that next evolution in technology. And so, I think a lot of engineers that are making that job change decision are like, okay, what's the next wave? What can I get on? That's another one they can hit. And, I'll give a bonus one, because we were talking about before we came on live to start recording. But I think this is obviously going to be an interesting year for Bitcoin. Bitcoin address space is going to hit its expiration, right? All the coins that are available in the world to mine are going to be mined. So the currency is going to be fixed, and then it's going to go into this commodity where it's going to have an increase in inflation. So I think. It'd be an interesting space. And if you look at kind of even the public markets, they're all now coming up with, tracking funds and PayPal getting into trading public Bitcoin. You got this kind of commonplace marketplace adoption of it. And so something that's always been around for a while, but it really, a cryptocurrency and that whole shift there is really going to be a nursing dynamic to watch throughout the balance.
There's companies that I know that a lot of their valuation is currently on Bitcoin. So, imagine watching that market with great interest, how those companies that own Bitcoin, not a consumer, a company owning Bitcoin, how much revenue or how much capital they're going to have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the trends hold true and what they're saying, it could obviously absolutely make the stock market look like the stock market was a joke, in terms of returns that they're talking about this year. But it'll be interesting to see, stake the claim now and, we'll see if they get that 300 or 500% return. But it'd be interesting to do for our next year's recap. But looking forward to next year, as we kind of look at where we're going with Sales Burrito. Obviously, we're going to be launching season two.
Season dos.
Number two, twice as good. And, we obviously have a slate of guests coming up. We have some pretty interesting topics that are already keyed up in our hopper. But yeah, we really want to expand in the number of remote guests we bring in. So you'll start seeing us bring in more than one speaker. We're obviously going to try to do that on a more frequent basis. And we obviously continue to take feedback from our audience. So we obviously are listening to the industry. We're watching the collective, and the pre-sales community. And for topics that are hot, we'll bring those in. And then, from a knowledge expansion perspective, our goal is to continue to bring in some of the industry luminaries, the current authors who are writing topical information that makes sense, and, some of the emerging thought leaders in this space. You can expect to see those coming into our show, and we're working on booking some of those right now. So, bright future for us. Sure. We do appreciate everybody that's tuned in. And I think we'd be remiss to say if we don't wish everybody a wonderful New Year's. And again, we're going to continue to drop these episodes on a weekly basis on Wednesday. You'll get the first episode of season two shortly after the new year here. So we appreciate you tuning in. It's been our absolute pleasure to have you here with season one. And, from Enrique and me, I got to say that, we're always available on social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. And until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.
Oh my God. He got it correctly. Ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
the award goes for the next slide.
Better late than ever. Might as well get it right on the last episode. Have a great one, everyone.
Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.